Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to St. John from the 15th chapter, the first 17 verses. This is a fairly long passage, but it's very significant. It's one of my favorite passages in the scriptures. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my command, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. You are my friends. If you do what I command you, I will no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. A number of years ago, when I was at the church in Bangor, the district superintendent decided we needed to have a workshop and we needed to have someone come and teach us about evangelism. So we set up the workshop and someone came, and I can't remember his name. He was pretty well known at the time. He'd written a couple of books, and he had taken over a church that had about 800 members, and at that current time, they had about 2,000 members. So evidently he knew something about what he was talking about. He wanted to provide us a tool belt to carry the tools of evangelism with us. I don't remember what they all were, but I remember a story he told. He'd gotten on a plane to move from one city to another to lead another workshop, like he was doing in Bangor, and he sat in a plane, sat next to a man, an older man, and they began to talk, and they got to know each other. The older man was a sheriff in a community nearby, and was flying out on a little vacation, and they started talking together, and the sheriff said, "You know, it's really hard to be in law enforcement these days. Everything's changed. There's so much violence. There's so much pain, so much hurt. There's anger in homes. There's hate between parents and children. It's a very difficult time. There are so many drugs being used. So much has happened. By then, the evangelist said to him, "Well, what do you think the cause of all this is?" And there came one of those moments. You know, have you ever been to a basketball game and the crowd is noisy and everybody has to speak loudly in order to hear each other? And then suddenly the crowd goes quiet and someone is still talking in a loud voice and everybody can hear exactly. Maybe you've even been one of those people at one time. The sheriff turned to him and the noise of the plane seemed to diminish. And he said, "It's because they don't got no Jesus." Wow. I think that's true of the world today in so many ways. We ain't got no Jesus. We have, hopefully, but the world doesn't have. The pain, the suffering. Now, if we don't have a Jesus, what is it that we don't have? The main part of this morning's gospel lesson was about love. That's what's missing if we don't have Jesus in our lives. God's love. Jesus spoke to his disciples and said, "Love one another as I have loved you." The gospel also talks about bearing fruit. And it's hard sometimes to understand what is meant by bearing fruit. But I'm convinced, after reading this passage many times through my life, that bearing fruit means sharing God's love. In the 28th chapter of the gospel, according to St. Matthew, that's the last chapter in that gospel, and the last few lines, we hear Jesus telling his disciples, "Go into the world and baptize all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them all I have commanded you. And I will be with you forever, even until the end of the age." You see, God's love reaches out to people. And our love of Christ is supposed to be us reaching out to people. That's the fruit that needs to be born. We need to bear the fruit. We need to share the fruit. The fruit that have touched our lives and filled our lives and shown us the paths we should follow and the ways that God would have us go. We need to reach out in love. Also in Matthew, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus, "What's the greatest commandment?" And he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul and with all your strength." And the Pharisee, "You've spoken well." And he said, "Another is like it." Well, if you can understand the Greek, which I don't, but I trust other people who have written it down. If you love one another, you must also do this: love your neighbor as yourself. The other commandment, which is like unto the first, is actually in Greek saying you must do this in order to understand. How do we bear fruit? We love one another, and we love our neighbors. Now, I've only been with you a little over a year, but I know that you love one another. You may disagree, but you love one another. And it's okay to disagree with people that you love, but your constant care, your sharing, your prayers for those folks are important. But how do we love our neighbor? Because you see, sisters and brothers, sometimes our neighbor ain't got no Jesus. His heart or her heart is empty. They don't know what they're going to do in this world. Some turn to violence, some turn to drugs, some have great degrees of depression. We look out here at a former state trooper, and I'm sure he could tell us stories about people that didn't love each other. I have a friend whom you know, Bernie Hammond, who was a former state trooper who is now a pastor. And he used to tell some of the stories that showed that people didn't love each other, that people didn't love their neighbors either. If you want to know Jesus, you have to bear fruit. And in bearing fruit, any of you have any fruit trees? Sometimes you have to prune them a little bit, cut off some of the limbs so that more fruit will appear. Well, sometimes we have to be pruned a little bit, and it hurts a little bit. But we still know that God's love is present for us. God's love is what our lives are supposed to be all about. So if we're going to bear fruit, we need to go into the world and make disciples. That's the fruit that the gospel talks about. That's the fruit of Jesus Christ, who has come to live and dwell with us in our hearts and in our minds. Who is it that you can befriend? Who is it that is your neighbor who needs to know and share? Excuse me. I know you can do that because I hear you doing it amongst yourselves. You encourage yourself on Sunday mornings, and I hear that often. But to reach out to someone that you don't even know yet, that's the hard part. Go into the world and make up all disciples. We're making progress everywhere but in our own country. The largest Methodist churches in the world are in South Korea. There will be one pastor for 16,000 church members. And I thought I had it hard. In Africa, churches are growing. Methodist churches are growing in Africa. Pastors there make virtually no salary, yet they're expected to work full time in their congregations. I thought I had it tough. They spread God's love. They reach out. Their communities grow. That seems to be missing today. Our churches are shrinking, not only Methodist churches, but churches all over the country. I was in Kansas City a few years ago, and our largest Methodist church is there in Oberlin Park, just outside of Kansas City, Church of the Resurrection. Adam Hamilton's the pastor. He's written a dozen books in the last few years and has become very much a leader of the United Methodist Church. Anyway, the last time I was there, he was saying, you know, for the first time in my 16 years, and you need to know they started with 8 members and now they have 26,000 members. In the last year, for the first time, I was told by my financial secretary that I had to be careful in the money that I spent. The world seems to be tightening with us, and we need to push back the borders and bear much fruit in Jesus' name. Would you pray with me? Holy and righteous God, we thank you for your love, the love found between you and Jesus, and the love between Jesus and you, and the love between Jesus and his disciples, who are called to bear fruit and to love one another. Help us to love, O Lord, not only those that we know and have known for years, but help us to know the people around us. Help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.